Minnesota, guess where that couple of Americans of Greek extraction. What a weird way to put it.
Not descent, extraction. Does that mean they're expatriates of
No, it says they were American born, right?
So they've been extracted. Did someone wring out Greekness from them? I don't understand what extraction is. Were they boiled down to a syrup? Maybe it is a
thing, you know, like getting olive oil.
Oh, yeah. No, like from Italians. Like, I sweat olive oil. Yeah, no, I gotcha. The Greeks did it first.
But, no, the article I was reading about this soda and the American-born couple of Greek extraction who created it, they're from Penfield.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's why I've had this before, because it's local soda.
It's local soda. You can't get any more hipster than that.
So I could drive 10 minutes and go to the house.
You probably could.
Of the people who make this
and
soda.
And say, hey, what the fuck happened to your website?
And why? What is Greek extraction exactly? Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi, and we're talking about a weird cocktail that I came up with. Well, I didn't come up with it. I found it.
Well, we're talking about the soda.
And one of the key ingredient that makes it interesting is a apparently very local, up the road soda called Ouzon. O-U-Z-O-N.
And you can go to their website, but it doesn't work. It's GreekSoda.com.
So Smike really wanted to know where this was bottled, if it was imported, if it was made somewhere locally. And so he went to the website. Oh, so first you were trying to guess.
No, keep going, but it gets better.
So you were trying to guess the nationality of it, and you're like, well, I think Ouzo is Greek.
Right.
So I was like, well, the label looks Greek. And then you flipped the bottle around and you said, oh, www.GreekSoda.com.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, we've decided Greek. It is Greek.
All right, so this is interesting. In the beginning, this is from the article from the DNC. In the beginning, the pair worked from their home kitchen until they hit upon a recipe that met their standards.
Their Greek extraction standards.
I guess. Quote, we didn't know anything about making soda, quote, Phil says. Okay.
All right, Phil, you're not filling me with confidence.
They knew that to produce their soda for wholesale consumption, I can't even talk now. They would need to manufacture the product in a large-scale facility. Makes sense?
Yeah, sure.
So they turned for guidance to those with food industry knowledge. They did a lot of research and were directed first to the New York State Food Ventures Center at Cornell University. Good old Cornell.
Sure.
They helped us get to the next step, Anastasia said. They told us how we needed to change the formula, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. In the end, the couple was able to create a wholly natural product with a clean ingredient panel. No dirty ingredients here.
I think like either organic, although it didn't say organic, chemical free.
Maybe. In the end, the couple was able to create a wholly natural product, and so natural here, I guess, with a clean ingredient panel that Phil handcrafts at an Amish farmer's certified kitchen in upstate New York.
This is the most hipster.
Just dripping with authenticity and
but authenticity of what?
I don't know.
Greek
an Amish farmer's certified kitchen.
The Amish that, Greeks. Like what?
I don't. This is just very strange.
No. You're really going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, Phil rented a van and drove from Rochester to California, selling his soda to Greek festivals along the way. That's the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you used to do it, I guess.
That's old school.
Yeah. The couple soon realized that selling to Greek festivals was not a sustainable business model, so they decided to focus on the upstate cities of Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse, and the hipsters therein.
It does not
actually say
that. Right. New York hipster triumvirate.
Yes.
The triple crown of hipsters in upstate New York.
So anyway, originally conceived as a fun novelty drink, Ouzon began to take on a life of its own and to win awards. In 2011, it was awarded
BevStar.
Beverage Magazine's Bronze BevStar. No, just the Bronze BevStar.
That's not as impressive.
Award for Best Carbonated Soft Drink. In 2012, at Rochester's Food Link Festival, it won the, quote, Best Taste Award. Which I guess is...
Are you going to read
not
that
as impressive as the Bev Star, although it is just a bronze Bev Star.
Well, they put the bronze star on the bottle, so they're clearly proud of it.
Anyway, there you go. The article goes on long. You can just look it up if you're really curious about it.
Look up in the Democrat and Chronicle. DNC. Ouzon soda.
Ouzon.
I think this drink is delicious. This is a dangerous drink.
It is a tasty drink.
No, the drink, not the soda.
Well, I haven't even gotten it.
Yeah,
drink
I know.
Yet.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm working my way up.
The drink is dangerous. So.
So you're in an odd spot.
I'm in an odd spot.
You are in the middle of a movie as we speak.
At this moment, I am halfway through. Erica and I are halfway through Logan.
That is good. It was very, very smooth.
Very smooth.
Very smooth.
Very dangerously easy to drink. I've had a very, very... See the percentage there? I'm at 188% of my fitness goal for the day. I've been moving nonstop. We'll talk about that later.
While you're watching Logan, there was that last night.
No, that was today. That was during the day. I'm going to go through my full itinerary.
So you're moving around, watching a movie at the same time.
I was actually doing motion capture.
Because I don't know how else you could have...
I was doing motion capture for another movie while watching that movie.
Does it look like you were doing... Logan motion capture there.
The movie I was doing motion capture for is a cheap knockoff of Wolverine.
You got your fist made and you're doing the claw.
And the claws, yeah. Because you don't punch. Well, he doesn't. So we've been, ever since Australia, either Erica or I are having trouble sleeping like one night or another. Although Erica did buy an insanely expensive fancy pillow yesterday, so that will hopefully help. She went to Sleep Number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had 30% off their pillows, and she's like, I want that expensive motherfucker.
So had she, like, been scoping out this? Did she know what pillow she wanted?
She knew she needed a new pillow.
Uh-huh.
Because the old pillow is, like, pilling.
Yeah.
Because it's old and gross. And it hasn't been a good pillow for her at all. And that's my fault, because I stole her pillow at some point, and she agreed
pillow?
To it. Yeah, she had a good pillow, and I stole it. And I really don't know how she let me get away with that, but I don't even use a pillow half the time now. So she needed like a thick pillow where your head doesn't go down too much into it, and like she keeps buying cheap pillows and they don't do that.
Yeah, I've got some of them. I get they have these really good ones like you know, the heavy latex or something like latex foam with like the blue cooling strip, which doesn't really keep you cool.
Gel. Yeah, it's supposed to counteract the memory foam, which retains heat like a motherfucker.
Yeah. So I got like one of those pillows and it's like, you know, massively heavy.
Yeah. Oh, anywhere. Yeah. I was carrying her pillow around. I'm like, holy fuck, this thing's heavy as shit.
But they were only like $24 at BJ's.
Oh, yeah. She spent a lot more than that.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I mean, I've gotten a couple of these and they're, you know, pretty good deal. If you're in the market for a heavy latex pillow with a cooling gel strip on it, go to BJ's.
It's a very weirdly specific piece of advice, but okay.
I know. I've got so many sponsors I'm trying to cover tonight.
Oh, God. All right. Brought to you by the first half of Logan. So Eric had to go to bed early last night and Game of Thrones premiered, so we wanted to watch that so no one ruined it for us on social media, so we watched that. And then today we have to get Logan watched today so we can get the disc back to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get Beauty and the Beast, because my mom has a date to watch it with Erica because my mom's visiting this week.
Mm-hmm.
This whole convoluted, unnecessarily complicated thing that would be solved if we just red boxed the movie and stopped worrying about it, but that's not how we work. We like the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very busy day, which I will detail soon, because I'm impressed by it. You may not be. The listeners may be bored. I'm impressed by how busy I was today. My fucking smartwatch is damn impressed by it. The fitness tracker. Anyway, the rest of the smartwatch doesn't care. So we had figured out that we could watch half of Logan in the afternoon and then the rest tonight after this podcast. So far... Very different than any Wolverine movie or X-Men movie we've seen so far.
But you knew that going in.
Oh, yeah. And I mean that in a very good way.
I know I told you that.
Yeah.
Among everyone else who has ever said anything about the movie.
But yeah, at one point, like, Eric and I were kind of joking, like, wow, this is not shit. They're cursing. And, and Eric is like, yeah, I see they're using the Deadpool way of making movies. I'm like, oh, if it ain't broke.
Yeah. And you know, just, like, murdering a bunch of people right in the beginning.
Oh, my God. That was great. Because I'm like, yes, for once, that's what Wolverine should fucking do. Like, that's, yes. So, definitely enjoying it.
Not to spoil it, but in the beginning, he just murders a bunch of people.
Yo, he fucks them up.
It's just,
and it's not like
this is what you do if you have claws
And can get shot by guns and not die. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And you're old and ornery.
Yeah, and not looking at his best when he's doing it, but, I mean, he's kind of half-assing it, but still killing them pretty handily.
Well, he, like, three-quarters asses it towards the end when he gets mad. And then he does a lot of impalings. But yeah, like, I was starting to think of all the stuff he's done in the Wolverine and X-Men movies. And I'm like, this seems so stupid compared to this. Yeah. It's so, like, wire-worky and unnecessary. And this is just, punch through your face. Slice off your face. Go up under your face. Yeah. A lot of faces.
And that was one of the things about the fighting that they showed in this one is, like, he knew exactly where he wanted to punch someone to just make them dead. Right. It wasn't just like he swung and happened to hit somebody in the head. It was just a very well aimed.
I've been doing right this for a very long time.
I know how to hit people and make them dead. Boop, yeah. Boop, boop.
My fist doesn't have to go quite there, but the blades do. So, toothpick. Yeah, so we're enjoying it so far. You know?
I'm trying not to spoil anything here. But
they just had dinner. With the farmers.
Oh, okay.
Then that's where we stopped.
So you kind of gotten into now the sense of what happened previously.
Well, I know who the Reavers are from the comics.
Well, I meant with Charles.
Yeah, they made a few mentions.
Because they sort of talk circles around
it. Yeah, I like that. So I'm like, okay, I'll try to piece it together.
Well, I can tell you this. In the original cut... the original screenplay. Okay. The original plan for the movie was to start off with an extended flashback scene that showed whatever all the shit going down that Charles kind of fucked up.
Okay.
And then the director decided, you know what? We don't need to show people this. Mm. If we started with that, that would be in people's minds.
It would dominate the rest.
Yeah, it would dominate.
Yeah, it would alter the course of the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, it does, but yeah, okay.
So yeah, I just to let you know that was part of it, but there was a very clear idea of exactly what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I get that. Yeah, they made a few allusions, a few mentions of something. It'd be funny if
it was bad.
Well, yeah, you definitely get that sense. No, they met. Yeah, there was a newscast that was very brief that I was like, okay. But yeah, I mean the Reavers, right, and Caliban, like it's fun. It's making me dig back to the X-Men memory banks from the comic book days. Yeah, and he's just mean and old and ornery, kind of like you'd imagine him. And I like his and Professor X's dynamic is very funny because it's so weird for a comic book movie at all, much less X-Men.
Yeah. You know,
which has always been so high-minded and whatever.
Yeah, and it's kind of tough to just talk about without having you finish the movie.
I know, it's a weird spot. I'm in a weird spot right now.
But it's the relationship is definitely heavily influenced by what went down.
Well, yeah,
And so you've got Logan, who's kind of this, like, there's a closeness there, but there's also like kind of a I fucking hate you for what happened sort of thing.
Yeah, and this weird like begrudging caretaker role that he's in, which is odd.
Because nobody, who else is going to do this?
Yeah.
And so, he recognizes that I think that he owes Charles so much,
right?
But at the same time,
really hates his guts.
Really hates him.
yeah, I think that carries through. We don't have specifics, but we're definitely getting a sense.
So there's love, there's hate,
it's a love hate relationship.
Yeah, which is pretty much the range that Logan has. He kind of love hate and not much in between.
Really. Yeah, no, that's true. You checked out on X-Men after Days of Future Past, right? So you didn't see X-Men Apocalypse.
No. Did you end up watching that?
Yeah, I actually own it. It was a Christmas gift. But they did something really weird, and they caught a lot of flack, and I think they should have caught a lot of flack for it. So, in the end of... I'm sorry, we're just apparently talking about X-Men movies now.
Okay.
In the end... This is the problem with time travel storylines.
Oh, gosh.
In the end of Days of Future Past, they undid a lot of Wolverine's backstory. And it was a really great moment at the very end, you know, and you know, the movie's, it's several movies back now. Fuck you if you haven't seen it. Spoilers. But he goes out to Professor X at the very end of the movie and he comes back to the modern time and he looks befuddled and Professor X is like, ah, I've been waiting for you to get back. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's excited to tell him everything that happened, which was a cool moment. In Age of Apocalypse, all of that gets undone and he ends up in the Weapon X program again. And young Jean Grey, which is weird, and all of that, like the young X-Men find him and kind of accidentally set him loose on all of the Weapon X guys and then to escape. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, like, they clearly undid this. How did this happen again? And someone called the writer on. He's like, yeah, you got me. You know, timelines aren't immutable. And I was like, really, dude, come on. Like, what? You're just trying to go back to set it up again, even though you undid it? Like, what the fuck are you doing? So I don't know what they're doing with the X-Men.
It is weird when, you know, you have a big change at the end of a movie that is completely undone at the beginning of the next movie.
With no mention or discussion or acknowledgement whatsoever. Nothing. It's just, oh, all that happened again. So apparently he was always, I think the guy might have mentioned Destiny.
Whatever.
Destiny.
So what'd you think of Apocalypse?
Oh, it was pretty bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. I mean, I kind of know who Apocalypse is. And from what I've read or gleaned about it, they kind of wrote themselves into a corner by just making him the villain, and this is just so absurdly overpowered that they had to like kind of bullshit to defeat him.
It was very silly. First of all, it had Psylocke.
Yeah.
And I love that actress whose name is currently escaping me. She was in The Newsroom.
Hmm.
Because she's gorgeous and she plays really smart characters. And, you know, tight leather. So, but sometimes I'm a 13-year-old boy. It's allowed. So she was really hot in that movie. And she has a blade, you know, psionic. Mm-hmm. She's badass. So that was a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other movie was a minus, though. The thing is, not only is Apocalypse too powerful, but, like, he's silly. Like, he's an ancient Egyptian godhead figure character who is buried under a pyramid for 100,000 years. And he comes back and he kicks everyone down. Like, there are things that break movies, mm-hmm. like even on a conceptual level, and Apocalypse is definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his name pretty much says it all, and they really should have avoided putting him in a movie. It just was a bad call. So, yeah, that movie was not great. So I'm glad that this is the last, you know, the swan song of Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman. So I get to see them go out on a good note.
Yes.
You know. And then there was American Ultra.
Okay.
No, you know what? No, I don't want to talk about just movies. We talk about movies a lot. So I had a really busy day today.
You mentioned that.
Multiple times. Well, you tell me. I'll tell you. You be my judge, jury, and executioner. You tell me if I had a busy day.
Look, I am such a lazy son of a bitch that if you did anything, I'm just going to be impressed.
I got out of bed.
Fuck, man.
And I took a piss. And then I went back to bed.
Oh!
I was exhausted.
Nice.
The end. Scene.
Nice.
So I've been forced to take
extra... I'm trying to work my way up to doing that, having a day like that.
Yeah, that was weird that you rode that wheelchair here all the way. I've been forced to take extra time off because of the Australia trip, because I worked on July 3rd and 4th, which were holidays in our company.
Yes.
So I'm off all week. I was only going to take a couple of days off from my mom. I completed a honey-do list that was a mile long the last time I had time off, because I told you, my vacations, I like to work my ass off, get stuff done. But what I ended up doing was just coming up with a whole other, like, really long to-do list. So this morning, I woke up, I made coffee, took my son into daycare,
uh-huh.
went to Home Depot, uh-huh. bought a replacement chainsaw blade.
Nice.
Piece of sheetrock patch, like a patch piece of sheetrock.
Okay.
A small piece. I didn't want a full sheetrock.
Of course not. Who wants a full piece of sheetrock?
I'm not fucking building a house here. Would I look like Bob Vila? Fuck that shit. And then some, like, joint tape. And I look up all this shit, figure out what the fuck it was. But I kind of knew, but I didn't know. Because you hear these terms, like spackle. Like, what actually is spackle? Let me figure this out. So I bought all that shit. I came home.
It's fun to say, though.
Spackle is a great word. Spackle is, it's one of the best words in the English language. Like cellar door. No, it's the most beautiful word. According to Donnie Darko. So I had, in a fit of uncommon rage, about, I don't know, maybe a year ago.
Uh-huh.
So if I, if I'm not really careful with the fasting part of my diet, like I have to eat a two.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Yes.
Because if I don't, I turn into the Incredible Hulk. And like, it's very hard for me to control my emotions. So, because I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to replace a headlight, and it turned out I had to take the whole like bumper off to do it. But I think I told you about this. I had my camera on my phone.
Okay.
And yeah. I was trying to like take a selfie of the inside of the car and put it in and put this clip back on.
Headlights are no longer like easy replacements.
I am upgrading to full LED. I don't on my car. I don't fucking want to ever deal with this again. So the mechanic ended up, because I didn't accomplish what I was trying to do, the mechanic ended up having to take the bumper off to do this. So what I was doing was clearly very difficult. But I got so mad, and it was like 90 degrees in the garage that day. It was last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I didn't even have the garage door open. And I was just like sweating, and it was like an hour past when I was supposed to eat. And I just got so angry, I kicked a hole in the garage wall. And then I punched another hole in the garage wall. And I felt great. Because I kicked and punched holes in the wall. But
And you weren't even drunk to do it.
No, I was sober and starving. That's the only violent outburst I've had since college, when I drunkenly lost a fight with a body boxing thing, the body bag. It fell on me. I was drunk that time.
I was going to say, those don't usually hit back.
If they're not weighted, they're not filled with sand or water, they do, actually. They boom, wall to you. So I've had these holes in the garage wall that have just been like tormenting me, right? And I know I did it, and I needed to fix it.
Are they like little faces that are laughing at you, or gaping maws?
They're more like the telltale heart kind of thing.
Except there's no heart in them.
No,
just and everybody else can actually see them.
So nothing like the telltale heart.
Nothing like the telltale heart.
Fuck you. My telltale heart. My telltale hole. So I've looked up on a video, it's fairly easy, but there are many steps to patch a very large hole in drywall. You have to like cut a bigger hole and then cut like a patch like that's the same size.
Yes.
And then you put wood on the inside of the drywall and screw it in to make a brace.
Hmm. Okay.
And then you put the drywall that's perfectly cut into the hole, and you screw that into the wood that you just added. And then you take joint tape around the gaps, and then you spackle the shit out of it.
All right.
So I did that.
Good.
So I've done a lot already. This is like 10:30 in the morning at this point. And then I trimmed the magnolia tree.
Wow.
It was getting a little leafy.
You're done. You got to be done now.
Oh, I'm not even close to done. And then our fucking neighbors. So our neighbors keep breaking boards in our fence from like kicking balls and shit at it. But now.
Is it your fence or is it like a shared fence?
Oh, no, it's our fence.
Okay.
Vinny, the owner, 2 times ago put it up. It's our fence. And then now the neighborhood dipshits, you know, these are the ones who light shit on fire and get the cops called on them. I don't mean just our neighbors.
You're talking about literally lighting
shit on fire. Yes,
not like,
a bag of,
not like shit in the sense of random things. Shit,
not random detritus, not
poop.
Homeless people.
This is
they
poop.
Literally light fecal matter on fire and leave it and ring the ding dong ditch with the bag of poop, like an Adam Sandler movie style.
Do people really still fall for that? I wonder.
They don't step on it. I don't think.
I would hope not. I would hope, but by now that's such a, you know, a cultural. Yeah. Culturally recognized
you gotta
thing.
Know.
You're
yeah.
like, oh, it's a burning bag. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get some water.
Nice try, you.
Who fuckers. Steps on fire? I mean, that's who did that in the first place? Oh, God, I smell like shit now. That was, why was I risking burning my foot on that in the first place? There's this thing called indoor plumbing. So now the neighborhood dipshits collectively play manhunt, and apparently they jump our fence. So
they're
yes,
hunting each other?
I would like to think they're hunting each other to the death, but sadly that's not the case. But if you want to, you little shits, feel free.
The most dangerous prey.
Is other dipshits. So one probably larger kid, I have a few ideas who might be, jumped our fence and broke like the whole top of a board off.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say like his leg, which would have been fun, but no.
It would have been. They probably would have tried to sue us.
Yeah.
And been like, listen, dipshit, you were playing manhunt. Go fuck yourself. I'll see you in court. But yeah, one of these dipshits broke the top of the fence off. So I had multiple boards I had to replace.
Mm-hmm.
So then I immediately went from the drywall to the magnolia tree, and then I swapped some boards out on the fence. So I mended my fence. But I wasn't done.
You're shitting me.
I'm with not actual shitting shit. You. Not with actual this, shit.
I think I'm actually covered with shit now.
Yeah, we're... Man, I work in here.
I'm sorry. I don't know how this happened.
Did you take... Where did... do you,
there was a fire or something. I don't know.
I was right here. we cut down a diseased maple tree recently. My father-in-law did, because he's got the big guy chainsaw. Like the gas-powered one that actually can cut shit. Not my little electric one that I bought for a shrub. And then it's like, oh, multiple trees need to be cut now. Wait, God damn it.
You have an electrical chainsaw?
Yeah, around Fairport Electric. It's what you do. And it's cut down the juniper bush, great, but it can't handle trees.
Yeah.
Can handle branches. So I had carted away the tree bits a couple days ago, but the stump was still sticking above ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I took apart the chainsaw, cleaned it with a little metal brush, applied the new chain, made sure the bar and chain oil was...
Is this the real chainsaw or the little shitty electric one?
It's a real chainsaw. It's a 14-inch chainsaw. It plugs in.
Okay.
It cuts shit. I don't know what you want. I could still kill you with it. Do you want me to impale you? You want to go test it? Do you like your limbs? Because I could do something about them. So I went out and I chainsawed the shit out of the stump so that it's now below ground level.
Okay.
And then I like kind of filled it in with some dirt and some detritus. So now like, you know, we can put some non super deep rooted grass on it or perhaps a gnome. I think a large rotund gnome would probably fill that space quite nicely.
It'll take time, but it'll eventually decompose and whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And that was all by noon.
What?
And then...
You mean noon the next day, right?
I mean noon today. This is all motherfucking this morning, bro.
All right.
And then I went for a run. Then I ran a 5.5K run. And it was a terrible idea because I felt like shit. Because I was exhausted.
It was a warm day today.
It was very warm.
Very warm and humid.
The best day for running. No, I actually really like running in humid, hot weather.
Oof.
Well, it's for my joints. Like, years of waiting tables and stuff have made my joints a little finicky. And the colder it is, the more they act up. I don't mean like I'm hobbled. It's just like, I'm like, oh, I feel my knees right now when it's like 50 out. But when it's 80, my knees are fine. They're like, I am free because it's so hot. I don't know why they say that, but that's what they say. I need more of this Ouzon cocktail.
Yeah, I think so. Keep drinking.
Yeah, I was actually already looked like I had gone running because of all the outdoor like work I was doing. So I was putting on like this thick zinc oxide sunscreen, and it, like normally it's really hard to apply because it's so pasty, but it was just mixing with my sweat and smearing all over the place. And I was like, it's my eye.
That sounds awful.
It was pretty bad. So I went for a run, not a good run, but I finished it. I completed it. All three miles, 5.5K, whatever. And then came home, sat my ass down, watched half of Logan right after I got home. Watched that with Erica. And then when that was done, went out and I started power washing the concrete pad outside.
Oh, my God.
And I finished that just before you got here. I also cooked dinner for my family.
And made these drinks.
Made these cocktails. Now tell me, you fucking tell me, guy. Was that a busy day?
That was like 10 busy days.
Right?
I can't. And you're not even done yet.
I'm done. Except for Logan. The finishing Logan. I'm done.
Wow.
And that was my day. So I like to think that I am the bronze Bev Star winner of productive people today.
All right. So are we going to talk about the American Ultra now, or are you not going to mention that at all?
Yeah. The night is still young.
Okay. All right.
I kind of want to get one of those sodas. I really like this soda. Yeah, so let's talk about American Ultra.
This is a movie that's been out for a while.
It's been out for a long time. A couple years.
It didn't do super well.
Not at all.
Either box office or honestly in reviews. It was like one of those, it's okay sort of movies for the critics and for the audiences, really.
Well, I think you would agree. But like the rest of us disagreed.
Yeah. So you, Erica and Linda, enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah. I thought it was entertaining. It was all right, but it was just kind of all right. And I don't know where are we going with this?
Well, so Erica
looking
and
something
I,
up on your phone.
Yeah, Erica and I are really big fans of Max Landis, John Landis's son. You watched the Superman short right? The Death of Superman thing where the guy's drinking, getting more drunk, telling the whole story of Death of Superman.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. This guy, so he's kind of crazy, but I think he's a really excellent like screenwriter. And mm-hmm. he wrote and I think directed he wrote Chronicle.
Okay. Which, I still haven't seen Chronicle.
I love Chronicle. Mm. I love that movie. I think he's got some really cool ideas. Oh, he created Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. We really want to see that. I'm trying to think of what else he might have done that you... The Death and Return of Superman is actually on here. It's really good. If you haven't seen The Death and Return of Superman, it's a really great short. It's very funny. It's him explaining everything DC did wrong about, like, when it came to killing Superman. The whole Death of Superman thing and mm-hmm. bringing it back and how they fucked it all up. Very, very talented guy. Very interesting. Does a lot of interesting stuff that's not something you've seen before. So we tend to like, oh, he's writing the new American Werewolf in London that apparently we're making.
His dad did.
Interesting.
Interesting.
He has kind of a quirky sensibility. Basically, this movie was like quirky Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secret program, super skilled agent, but very goofy. And stoner comedy. It's Jason Bourne, the stoner comedy.
Yes. I guess that's it.
That's it.
I mean, that's...
Really, that's probably going to inform you either way. I mean, did you love Cheech and Chong movies as a kid?
Not really.
Yeah.
And they were kind of before my time.
Oh, they were before mine. Okay, Half-Baked, Pineapple Express.
Yeah, I didn't see either of
them. Yeah, see, you're just...
I'm not into stoner
you're a square. Much of anything. That's the problem. Sure. You're super square, dude.
Well, if you say so, then
I,
yes.
I do. I do. I'm saying you're square, man. Square. I'm making the square out of my fingers. Yeah, bam, that's you.
That's more of a kind of a trapezoid.
No, there are squares in the square.
All right.
Hey, you're leaning. I don't know. I thought it was funny. I thought the action scenes were fun. You know, it was one of those movies that suffered from the fact that the trailer showed a lot of like clutch scenes. So if you remember that.
Yes. Like there were some very nice moments. I thought there were also a lot of times where it was just kind of dragging. The things that I really didn't care for much was all the CIA
intrigue stuff.
Yeah, quote, intrigue, unquote. Which wasn't that intriguing to me. Ha ha ha. Ow. That was deserved. That was well deserved.
That is true. As long as you realize that. I did that for you, Smike.
Yeah.
I think it could have been scaled back. I would still recommend American Ultra. Basically, I think it's really easy. If the description, Jason Bourne, the stoner comedy, appeals to you, see American Ultra. Jesse Eisenberg is like a really super skilled stoner secret agent, is exactly what it sounds like. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I could see why it didn't do well. Actually, Max Landis apparently gave an interview where he explained exactly why he thought the movie failed.
Oh.
I haven't read it. I need to read it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you ready to talk about Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 1 premiere?
I don't watch Game of Thrones. So
what is wrong with you?
I don't care. I mean, you can talk about it all you want.
Why?
Everybody on the internet is talking about it today.
Are you one of those people that I used to be like, where it's like, oh, it's popular, I don't want to...
I don't have HBO, for one thing. Oh, I mean, that's probably the bulk of it. And I'm not really that...
Yeah, there's this thing called free month of HBO Now. It's an app. You don't need on cable anymore. Next excuse.
I don't care.
You don't like epic high fantasy with like
fighting? I really don't.
Dragons?
No.
Magic? Sexy sex? I mean like sexy sex. And like, I'm saying that like a 13-year-old
really,
boy.
Really rapey though, isn't it?
At times.
I understand that it's super popular and violent and people die and get raped and have sex and do terrible things and give birth to dragons or some shit. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. They give birth to murderous shadow assassins. Come on, man. Jesus. Get with the program.
But I don't know. None of the stuff I've seen about it makes me want to go like, oh, God, I wish I had HBO so I could watch this. And maybe that's just something wrong, or maybe it's just me not wanting to want it because I don't want to go to the trouble of getting HBO. I don't know.
You keep saying getting HBO like it's difficult. Like it's an app, for God's sakes. There's nothing difficult about getting... They will give it to you for free for a month. You could get caught up on Game of Thrones. It would be a lot of work. You could get caught up on 6 seasons of Game of Thrones for free.
And maybe that's part of it. I've also got more of an older mentality about these things where, to me...
What does that mean?
Because to me, getting HBO is like a hassle thing. Because I got to call a cable company. I got to sign up for a new plan.
No.
I got like all this other crap that's going to get bundled with it. And
what?
But that's just in my head. I can understand that that's just in my head from being...
Okay. Do you know what I did to get HBO last night? 20 minutes before the premiere of Game of Thrones, I sat down on my nice comfy couch. I turned on my Fire TV and I said, HBO Now. And it said, how do you want to pay? You want to pay with Amazon? Because we have your information right here. I said, yeah. And they said, okay, your first month's free. And they said, hey, we're going to shoot you an email so you can put your name in here. And that was done. Guess how many cable people I talked to? Zero.
But ultimately, no. There's nothing about Game of Thrones that I've seen that has really made me want to watch it.
It is upsetting. It's like Breaking Bad. I feel like you guys shy away from the more upsetting stuff. Like I'll call it challenging drama doesn't seem to be in your wheelhouse. That's not a judgment at all. I'm just saying based on the viewing preferences you guys have, I haven't seen that.
Challenging drama.
Yeah, the Breaking Bads. The oh god, we're gonna watch a high school teacher with cancer become an awful human being. Like for 5 seasons and get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
We're going to watch people get innocent people get murdered horribly. We're going to watch people get raped. We're going to watch pretty much everyone who we care about in the show die or have horrible, awful things happen to them. That's Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen some pretty nihilistic anime.
Yeah, but that's where you guys skew. So I guess there you go. You're challenging.
Like, freaking Gantz is, if you've ever seen any of that, which you probably haven't. It's just they just kill off characters. I mean, it's about making characters die in horrible ways.
Yeah, that's Game of Thrones.
But no, I don't usually. I guess for live action stuff, that doesn't do that much for me. Like I really didn't like, and I know this is like a cult classic sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't like Cube.
Huh, okay.
Is that one that have you seen?
Yeah, I like Cube.
And it was, I don't know, maybe it's just the having it in live action, which makes it seem worse to me. It's very nihilistic. It's just, people are dying and there's no point to it.
Such is life. I'm telling you, I think that that's something that doesn't appeal to you.
No, it doesn't. It yeah. really doesn't. And I had the same reaction to, it is kind of along those lines, but not quite, mm-hmm. is what was that thing with the magicians that I know you guys like?
Oh, wait.
The
movie?
Yeah.
With Hugh Jackman and yeah, Guy Pearce? Yeah,
the something.
It's the Prestige.
The Prestige, that's mm-hmm. it. I think you and Erica, I think, liked
it. Yeah, that was good.
But I was like, oh, God, these characters are awful, and I don't want to see them just ruin
and the ending.
The lives.
Ending is so pointless. It's everything is for nothing.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Okay. I don't need that.
Have you always been like that, or is that something that's happened later in life?
Have I always been like that? I guess. I mean, okay. I'm trying to think of anything like that I've, enjoyed.
I don't know. Were you one of those weird kids who watched Faces of Death?
No.
No, I wasn't.
No. I didn't know. I liked horror movies, but I always kind of skewed towards the more like comedic horror movies.
Okay.
That weren't
Evil Deads.
Yeah, I loved Evil Dead. But the movies that like where it's just bad thing happening and then worse thing happening. It's like I might kind of like them, but the end was always like I don't like that kind. I don't dig that. I don't dig the. Not just unhappy ending, but just like hopeless ending.
It sounds like an empathy thing.
Yeah. Did you ever see Oculus?
No.
Okay.
Is that the mirror one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I find modern horror movies to mostly be stupid.
All right. Well, I can spoil it for you then. You won't be upset. I'm spoiling Oculus, so it's like 3 or 4 years old by now. I didn't care for it, and it was... So the setup of this movie is there's this... old fucking giant mirror
Mm-hmm.
That basically has, it's some sort of demon mirror.
Sure.
And it eats people's souls or whatever, eats life force.
Why wouldn't it?
And it can make people see anything that it wants them to see.
Okay.
And hear anything that it wants them to see. And it just basically...
While they're looking at it? Or
No, just within, like, whatever radius of it.
Like a Wi-Fi signal radius?
Yeah.
Or like
yeah,
a cell like tower that. Radius?
More like Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But, like, it's a pretty strong Wi-Fi signal.
Okay, so more than Bluetooth. So more than Bluetooth, less than cell tower. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, I guess the backstory was the two main characters are brother and sister. And this mirror basically... ate their parents when they were younger.
Okay.
And the brother thought he was just crazy about it and ended up going to spend his however many years in a psychiatric institution.
Mm-hmm. As it tends to happen in these kind of movies.
Yeah. Whereas the sister always kind of knew what had happened and knew it was the mirror. Okay. And so this is years later and they're adults and she gets him out of the institution and she tracks down the mirror from wherever it was.
Okay.
After it destroyed their family. So she's rigged up this thing that's going to basically crush the mirror if they don't set it every once in a while.
Okay.
So if they die, if the mirror kills them in her thinking,
they have a dead man switch.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Basically like that. Then the mirror will be crushed. And the mirror is smart enough to know all this. To pick all this up.
So it needs to figure out a way to trick them.
Yeah. And once that is set up and you get the rules that the mirror can make you see anything it wants you to see, you're like, okay, well, they're just fucked.
Right.
I mean, there's no...
They put themselves purposely in harm's way. And it has a reason to figure out how to fuck them over.
I know. She's trying to, record it to get it on camera doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're like, no. Because it can make you do and see anything. you're just fucked. You're just fucked.
It's too powerful to conceive.
It is. It's an overpowered... It's the apocalypse of mirrors.
That mirror used to be an Egyptian godhead.
Yeah, but and that was it made the movie. I mean, a lot of people liked it, but that was always in my head. It's like this is gonna be shit at the end. There's no hope for these characters.
Right.
And
was there no hope for those characters?
No, there wasn't.
What?
And they were trying to call people on the cell phone. And obviously, well, the phone's gonna the stupid mirror is going to make you hear whatever it wants you to hear on your phone.
Why didn't she just destroy the mirror?
Because there wouldn't be a movie then.
Vindication?
Because then there wouldn't be any movie at all. But yeah, so that sort of thing, that sort of hopelessness, I don't care for it.
Okay. I'm down with that. Erica told me that men age, their estrogen levels go up. And so, they will be less into, action movies and violence and stuff. And the stuff
you're saying, I've always been old.
I was going to make that point. But
I like action movies. I do like action movies.
But no, I'm not making that point. That's an interesting aside. Because even I'm more bothered as I'm getting older. I'm more bothered by, violence. Even before I had a kid. Some kinds of violence bother me now when they didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's weird, because by the old argument, the old video game or video games are dangerous argument, I'm becoming more desensitized to it, but it's the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I've gone back and watched some of the movies from the action movies from the 80s.
Ooh, yeah, I can't recommend that.
And they a lot of them don't hold up very well.
They don't hold up in a lot of ways. Schwarzenegger
things, but they're
Offensive.
They are.
Yeah,
and the hero is just oh god, he's doing awful shit.
He's usually a rapey sociopath. Most of the time in 80s action heroes, a rapey sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, it's I guess this was some sort of bizarre wish fulfillment fantasy thing
it must have
that
been.
We had men
American
had.
Men had. Yeah.
But looking back on it, it's like, oh, no, this isn't a good guy.
No, not by today's standards. Yeah, no, they probably should have been killed. Yeah. And there's a lot of, I've been
But the villains were always worse.
Right, I guess. Cardboard cutout, cartoony worse.
Yeah.
Either they wanted to destroy the world or take over. What is up with that? I might have mentioned this before. One of the things that blew my fucking mind as a kid was an episode of the cartoon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it was an alternate reality episode where Shredder and Krang won. And they conquered the world. And the turtles, like, end up in the Technodrome. Uh-huh. And Shredder's sitting at a desk, and there's just papers everywhere. And they're like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I took over the world. And they're like, oh, well, we're in our reality, you know, we've stopped you. And he goes, take me there. Please, do you know how much work it is to run the world? This is terrible. And like a stack of papers returned, like fall over. He's like, no, I just finished filing those. And I was like, that moment as like a 9-year-old kid. I was like, oh my God, why do any of these bad guys actually want to take over the world? This doesn't actually make any sense. It was, you know, you get those little glimpses of like adult reasoning when you're a kid and you're like, what? But then you kind of forget it. But I'll always remember that moment. Like, what? Why are they trying to do that? There is no actual sensible motivation there.
And I think that's one of the reasons why Austin Powers was such a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of looked at that. It was like, you're just asking for arbitrary amounts of money. You don't even need it. I mean,
he asked for too little, yeah. And they're all laughing at him. And then, like, the second movie, he asked for too much, and they're laughing at him.
You don't know what you want, do you? You just make shit up.
Bad for bad sake. Yeah, and you're not in aligned with the current, like, what a bad guy would ask for nowadays. I can almost see it being a throwback resurgence of that, because bad guys in real life are so fucking scary now. That it's like, well, maybe the simpler time of cardboard cutout villains would be comforting, but yeah, you got to give Mike Myers credit. It's easy to beat up on him because I think he kind of lost his way after a while. But like the first one or two Austin, I love So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, right?
I think I've only seen parts of it.
I love that movie. That is, it's tongue in cheek. It's definitely got underpinnings of what became Austin Powers.
Yeah. Like
the fat bastard character was kind of the dad in that. But there's a lot to be said about the first or maybe even the second Austin Powers movies.
Yeah, and I think that's just, oh, well, that's a thing for a lot of comedic actors. Like, I love, if you've ever seen Flirting with Disaster, Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, early, yeah. Ben Stiller.
Early Ben Stiller.
Is that the one with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I might have seen that, yeah.
And I really like Alec Allen Alda is in it. And
yeah, I think I did see that. And then then Something About Mary was huge.
Yeah, but even that one, I was like, no, this is too slapsticky for me.
But then it was just downhill from there. I feel like that was the turning point. It was like, wow, Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Stop.
He
with
just sort of got into a shtick.
Like, let's make fun of me and mm-hmm. put me in awkward. Yeah, I don't like that. It's my empathetic issue is, like, I couldn't watch. It took me a year to watch 12 episodes of The Office. The British Office, because Ricky Gervais is, it's so hard for me to watch that. I couldn't watch Larry David. I couldn't watch any of those shows after that, because it was like, I can't not feel so awful for this person.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they're bringing it on themselves.
So you don't like cringe humor, and I think we're on board. We agree with that.
Cannot take cringe humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people go on about how great Larry David is. I think I would probably have trouble with Seinfeld even at this point. I love Seinfeld as a kid. But I feel like if I went back to... No, that's different. No.
It's not that cringy. I mean, there are some cringy parts, but the cast is, like, generally not in bad shape.
No, they're affable, and, you know, they're kind of...
Except for George, I guess. But even he's, like, always kind of plugging on along.
Yeah. And it's, like, he's so over the top, and the things that happen to him are so over the top that it's, like, all right, it's awful as that is. It's ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
you know. But no, yeah, the Larry David I couldn't handle. The Office could not. That's why I never gave the American one a chance. I know it eventually got good, but the British one just broke me.
Mm-hmm.
It baned my back, dude. I was Batman. The Ricky Gervais's The Office was Bane. Broke my back for cringe humor. Ugh. I was living alone in Queens right after college, trying to watch that. I had it on DVD, and I remember I was in my old shitty futon in a ball. Like, I'd watch it in a whole episode, like, balled up. Like, kind of one, like, my fist, like a fist in front of my mouth so I could, like, kind of bite my knuckles.
So it just made you that uncomfortable?
So uncomfortable. And it's probably only worse at this point for me. Yeah. But, yeah, that time, I mean, it would hurt to watch an episode because by the end I would, like, have been in a ball for 20 minutes. Like, oh, God, I gotta stretch.
I'm going to change gears here.
Okay.
And I'm going to shift around in the chair and make some noise.
Yeah, you're here. Really creak, changing crunk, gears. Crunk,
creak, creak.
You need Tiptronic.
So you got something coming up that is kind of the opposite to me to all of the stuff that we've been talking about, the nihilism, the cringe stuff. You are getting ready to take your son soon, right? To see his first
movie.
Miyazaki movie. First movie and...
First movie theater movie.
Okay. You just go ahead and say it then.
So yes, we bought tickets. So they're doing a Miyazaki festival all year.
Mm-hmm.
Or most of the year, where you can see, you know, classic Miyazaki animated movies. My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's mm-hmm. Delivery Service. You know, very famous animated films.
Very good.
Very good. I mean, famous for a reason. not Cat Soup.
Well, that's not in the
canon.
Yeah, that's not in there.
Yeah. You can see these in the movie theater, which for many of us, if they ever were in the theater in America, which maybe
it was very long time ago, but not for very long,
right? In like the little theater.
Yeah.
So Eric and I have been, you know, trying to figure out. Well, we think he's ready for him. He can sit through a movie now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to take him to the movie theater. It's going to kind of blow his mind. A giant screen, mm-hmm. you know, all the sound. And we think he'll enjoy it. But we were looking at the movies coming out for kids this year, and they suck. We're like, he hasn't even seen Cars 1. We're not going to take him to fucking Cars 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a really interesting movie about the Mexican Day of the Dead that looks really trippy, but it looks like it's way too trippy for a 3-year-old, like skeletons everywhere.
Yeah.
It does look good though, actually. I forgot what it's called. But yeah, so then Erica read about the Miyazaki Fest. I'm like, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going back and forth, like, what do we want to watch? And our son has, you know, a love of Star Wars and stuff. He can handle a certain degree of, action, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going back and forth between My Neighbor Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service and Castle in the Sky. We ended up landing on Castle in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has pirates, it has blasters, it has robots, it has airplanes, it's all sorts of shit he loves. So we actually showed him the trailer 2 days mm-hmm. ago. He loved it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because there's like a robot for a split second. He's like, what's the robot doing? He's like, play it again. So maybe play the trailer over and over again. So we're really excited because we think it's going to be a really fun time. We'll buy popcorn. We'll do the whole experience. And not a lot of these tickets have sold. So I don't know if people don't care or we are going to the dubbed one.
Oh, okay.
And any anime purist will tell you that you don't go to dub.
Yeah,
go to
but sub. If you're a 3-year-old, you're not going to read.
We're not going
to. Well, you're not going to read, first of all.
Could you imagine being next to the parents who are reading the subtitles to their kid? Oh, how obnoxious would that be? And then he said, look out for the giant robot. And then she said, oh, worst movie theater talker ever. We're excited.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
No, that's great. And these. I really do like, you know, that kind of movie and not just the Miyazakis, but just that sort of style of movie. You know, a lot of animated movies have that kind of, I'm not sure how to put it, but the not just a happy ending, but like they're
the moral or
not even the moral. It's just they get through bad stuff. And then they get through on the other side, and there's a hopeful ending or a very positive end. I like a positive ending. Okay. Not necessarily happy, but certainly positive.
Positive, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting older and cheesier.
No. So for me, I didn't get into anime until Cartoon Network started doing anime at night.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? So that's where I saw mm-hmm. the TV edit of Akira, and it's where I got introduced to Regular Lotus War,
mm-hmm.
which are still some of my favorite animes.
Still haven't watched the end of Cowboy Bebop because I understand it's not very happy.
I never watched Cowboy Bebop. Of course, you wouldn't watch it if it's not happy. I never got into that. We watched Trigun.
Yeah, and I watched that and I watched the end of it and I really liked the arc of that. And you know the character who's the main character who's always trying to make things good for everyone,
yeah.
As impossible as that right. is.
But I remember, and I'll never forget this, because it's very, it's, I don't know if I've ever successfully put it into words, so maybe I'll give it a go.
All right.
But I, maybe it's what you're talking about. It's like, when I was young, so like early teens, like 12-ish, I think it was around the time that they I started watching anime, Vampire Hunter D. Like, I remember having a really weird sense of it. And it's jumbled because it's a really weird time for a kid. You know, it's, everything just is weird. Their hormones and the feelings, trying to figure out the world out. But anime kind of like, I won't say it fucked me up because it didn't, but it was, it definitely felt odd because watching it, it's like, this isn't like anything I've seen before.
Yeah.
It isn't, like, it's animated. It's not a fucking Disney movie.
Right.
That's for shit sure. Like, Akira, like, I feel like I'm disturbed by it, but it's interesting.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Vampire Hunter D, like, there's, it's, I'm disturbed by it, but it's interesting, and it's, like, kind of almost erotic at times, but not really, and I don't really know what to think of that, because I'm kind of young at the time, you know? I remember all that kind of going through my head, but not having the words for it to be like, oh, well, this is this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the point is that, yeah, they didn't have Disney endings, right? I mean, Akira is an extreme example, maybe.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But I mean, Vampire Hunter D and Record of Love, like, they all had endings that you wouldn't say were bad, but they weren't like, oh, tripping through the rainbows and
okay.
fields
these,
of flowers.
Yeah, these are in the, these are different from
Miyazaki.
The Miyazaki films.
Right, but there's still something the anime does where it will tackle.
Well, I think one of the differences is that the, between the Disney films and the Miyazaki films, is that Miyazaki will really put his characters through the ringer.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, a lot.
Bordering on Greek, like, happen. Greek tragedy, but without the killing them off at the end.
Yeah. But, I mean, they get through it.
Right.
But they get through it transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And
there is a definitive hero's journey character arc that happens in those.
Yeah. And I don't think you really get that in Disney. I mean, you get, like, oh, the character learned a lesson, but it's still the same character. It's always like a positive thing. I used to be an asshole race car. Now I'm a nice race car.
Yeah. I think the one difference, and you'll hear a lot of people say this is different than a lot of them, is Brave.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brave does a good job of putting the character and her mother through a ringer, and their relationship is very important, and that relationship notably changes as the movie goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they, and that's what I thought was the standout thing about that movie,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that there is actual character growth and relationship change. But I absolutely think you're right. Like, watching these movies, because, like, Simon watches them. By the way, Simon is going to grow up convinced that women are the ultimate badasses. Because, and you know, we've kind of encouraged this, but his favorite movies are Mulan,
mm-hmm.
Brave. He loves watching me fight robots in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked Frozen for a while. And it's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's just funny. I was thinking about it. I was like, he's really going to, yeah, good. He's not going to have that, like, it's only guys who have adventures kind of mentality. And that is partly, very small, partly Disney to thank, but it, you know, it's a glacial pace to embrace that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, no, you're right. Disney has this, like, well, the sense of danger is either disturbingly not talked about, which I feel happens sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. like there are moments where I've looked at Eric and been like, is that fucked up or is it just me? And she's like, no, that's kind of fucked up. But it
like
just kind of.
What?
Of course, I can remember having that conversation. All right, let me think.
Well, everybody talks about the, and I actually haven't seen it. Is it Toy Story 3? Mm-hmm. Is that the one where they're like about to get incinerated and everybody gets like real for a minute? Is like, we're just going to die. And that's.
There is that, but I'm not, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stuff that they don't acknowledge.
Hmm.
Like, okay, so, well, no, because they kind of did it in Monsters, Inc. I remember, and this is the parent thing. Like, he thinks, not Mike, but, Sully thinks that Boo gets crushed,
mm-hmm.
And then it's like totally fine. But he has that moment too of real. I was like, oh my god, she got crushed into a small pile of thing. Like, he feels really bad. But it's like, the more I think about it, no, it's the whole like plot line of that movie where they're stealing kids and they're going to kill them by extracting their screams. Like, no one acknowledges that, but it's like they're going to strap them to a chair, not feed them, not let them out, and suck them dry from screams until they die. Like, no one ever says like, holy fuck, that's terrifying. You know, and that's not a parent thing. That's a really fucked up thing. So there are a couple of things in Disney movies, maybe it's just Pixar, where I'm like, okay. But no, that's, you know, to get real for a moment, that's good. You know, to be like, oh, I need to face my toy mortality. But overall, that's rare. You know, it's usually, oh, we're on an adventure and everything works out and we're super happy. Usually the princess finds a prince.
Yeah.
Except in Frozen.
All right. Another thing that I think Disney does, maybe not always, but often enough to be noticeable, and not just Disney, but a lot of American
animated
movies, mm-hmm. like, we gotta like, fucking get rid of these parents. Because the kids can't go off and have an adventure unless right. we fucking kill the parents. So let's just do that.
There's the orphan or the lost kid trope. It's like yeah. a trope. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
And that was, I guess, kind of Brave again is kind of bucking that trend.
Where yeah, the adventure is
the with parental him, relationship is the most important thing in the movie.
Right. And I think that's lazy writing. I think it's almost the cell phone problem. It's as long as the character has a working cell phone, the story doesn't make sense.
Right.
So we need to find a reason.
As long as this kid has working parents, they can't have any fun.
If this parent, if this child has a parent who is anything at all worthwhile as a parent, this story should not actually happen. So let's figure out a way to. They're sick. They die. They get separated. They're possessed by demonic bunnies. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's silly. There are times when I'm like, all right, guys, you probably could have written this better.
Yeah.
But you didn't need to.
We'll touch on this real quick. Kubo, which you just actually bought. We've seen it. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But since we're talking about families and parents in animated movies,
Kubo. That's all about relationship and parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole movie is about that.
Yes. And that's, I think that was unusual.
It was. There is a lot about Kubo that's unusual. And I said this in that podcast about that. I had watched a lot of Disney movies with Simon, you know, around that time. And I was like really blown away by the stark contrast with how Kubo handled things like loss mm-hmm. and dealing with family issues. Because it's like it deals with not great family issues, which
mm-hmm.
how often do you see that in a kid's movie? How often do you see that in real life? Something's out of whack because you see it an awful lot in real life and not an awful lot in kids' movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just read some reviews when I bought it on Prime Day, because I bought it on Prime Day.
Aww.
I wasn't going to. But it was a dollar off.
whole dollar.
I was like, oh, it's $20 down to $8. Mm. Oh, no, it's $9 down to $8. I'm still going to buy it. I really wanted it. But the reviews, sometimes I like reading reviews of movies that I like.
Mm-hmm.
To see, sure. you know, if people agree about that. They notice the things I notice.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people talking about, like, this is a great movie for kids of different ages. It gets into loss and what a couple of people said, like, this prompts discussions that can be difficult, but they're good discussions to have,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I really like that about that movie.
And I'm still upset, and I feel like I'm kind of in the minority, but you'll probably agree with me, that Zootopia beat it for best animated movie.
And that was that.
And Zootopia was okay. I didn't have any problems with Zootopia, but
it was a big budget animated movie that handled like bullying or something, right? Or was it racism? Issues, was yeah. okay. I didn't see more than like 10 minutes of it. Simon did not care about the movie. You tried to get him to watch it because I kind of wanted to see it. I'm like, Simon, let's watch. He's just like, nope.
No.
So
it was a pretty movie too. It was the animation was gorgeous in it.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it was CGI, but it was
right.
beautiful
CGI. But that was DreamWorks, right? That wasn't even Disney, was it?
I think
it?
So.
It got a lot of buzz, but no, you're absolutely right. And there are people on the comments and the reviews saying that too.
Hmm.
It's really frustrating that Studio Leica does these like 4-year-long development cycles and makes, other than the Box Trolls, makes amazingly interesting movies, not just on a technical level, but on a story level. Paranorman's great. Coraline's great. These are excellent movies, and the fact that the Academy is like, oh, big studio, big animation house, here you go. Here's your Oscar for best animated movie. Oh, yeah, we didn't see it. Kub what? It's frustrating. Aw, now I'm depressed.
Aw. But you're going to see Castle in the Sky.
Yeah, which I've never seen.
I haven't seen it either, which is weird, because I've seen most other Miyazaki films.
The trailer? The song in the trailer.
I have it somewhere. I just
what?
Have it.
The song in the trailer is amazing. I couldn't get it out of my head. It's instrumental. And I'm sure it's not in the movie because that's how trailers are. Mm-hmm. They get that amazing song that you don't get in the movie. But there were comments like, this is the best song ever. What is this song? Like Erica pointed that out. Because Simon kept having me watching over and over again. I'm like, I love this song. What is this song? I think it's a violin. Yeah. Good stuff. So yeah, we're excited about that. I think we have another podcast or two before that. But I will definitely chronicle that experience of taking my son to his first big screen movie theater experience. We're excited.
Cool.
What's going on with you?
No.
What are you doing?
I'm sitting here. This is like the height of my day.
Your productivity.
Week, perhaps.
Well, the week is young, my friend. I hope that you've got more than this going on.
Yeah. No, is it?
This is it? Damn.
Should delete this. I mean, I got nothing. I do want to watch though that I made you guys watch that. That trailer.
Oh, Dave Built a Maze?
Yes.
Yeah, that looks amazing.
My God, that looks so awesome.
Mike, that is literally House of Leaves in cardboard form. Everything about that looked phenomenal.
Yes, go watch this trailer if you haven't heard of it or seen it.
If you have not seen the trailer, even if you've heard of it, if you've seen the trailer, go watch it again. Dave Built a Maze.
I've never seen a movie like this, and I can't wait to see the movie.
And if this makes sense to you, it'll probably get you more excited. It's like someone took House of Leaves and made it, but with cardboard. And live action. But
yeah.
It's
sort of.
Some of it.
Some of it puppets? I don't know. Like I don't know what's going on.
The razor goes by. I've been thinking about that for days. I was like, but what was coming out? Yeah, that looks good.
Oh.
We are buddies in space. You are.
That's Michael Smith, and you are.
And Michael Carassi. This episode was brought to you by
Uzon Soda.
And the first half of Logan. and the other sponsors.
And I don't know.
Pyramid Head.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
We are buddies in space.
You are.
That's Michael Smith, and you are.
And Michael Carassi. And we're done.